One of my favorite writers is a preacher by the name of John Ortberg. John reflects on one of his greatest enemies of the human spirit. He writes about a man named Max Dupree. Max was a CEO several years ago now of one of the innovative Fortune 500 companies named Herman Miller. One year, some folks asked Max to come and share a little bit about his leadership style, about the things that helped him to become successful in his sphere of influence. But at one of the sessions, someone raised their hand and they asked Mr. Dupree, "What is the most difficult thing that you have to overcome personally in order to be the leader that you need to be?" And he gave this answer. He said, "It's the interception of entropy. Being able to intercept entropy in my life." Now, if you are not the thermodynamic engineer that I'm not as well, you may not know what entropy is. Entropy is a term from physics that's used. I'm going to have to read this part. "It has something to do with the second law of thermodynamics and the availability of energy." Do I get that right, Grant? Did I get that right? Yeah? Okay. I see a couple of heads shaking. Okay. "It speaks to the fact that the universe is winding down. And it's the idea that everything that is left to itself has a tendency to deteriorate." Everything that's left to itself has a tendency to deteriorate. Entropy. But it's not only one of the great enemies of the universe, it's also one of the great enemies of the human spirit. You see, a person becomes apathetic or complacent or settles for the path of least resistance in some area of their life. Entropy. Dreams die and hopes fade. Entropy. See, a terrible thing happens. A person learns to live with mediocrity. Entropy is such an enemy of the human spirit that the writers of the book of Proverbs speak a lot about it. One thing they say is that a wise person is always on the lookout for the early signs of entropy setting in. Listen to Proverbs 27:23-24. Know well the conditions of your flocks and give attention to your herds. For riches do not last forever, nor a crown for all generations. Now, this passage shows the picture of someone who has livestock. Now, not many of us here are gentlemen farmers anymore. Some of us I know are. And you know the condition of your livestock. And this passage talks about the need to monitor them in order to keep them healthy and well. Because riches do not last forever, nor a crown for all generations. Now, for those of us who have watched our portfolios change over the past several years, we know that sometimes there are some things in life, no matter how much we watch them, all they do is go down. But when we begin to think about entropy in our lives, realize that could be the same for us as well. If we don't pay attention and keep on a lookout for the early signs of deterioration in our own lives. You see, though things might have been okay yesterday, that doesn't mean that they will stay okay forever. You put any important part of your life on autopilot. Your business life, your work life, your personal life, your spiritual life, your life with your family, the life with your life with your friends. You put anything on autopilot, and the risk of entropy begins to grow greater and greater, both in subtle and very destructive ways. So how do we begin to intercept entropy in our lives? Our lectionary passages, which the scriptures we read today were from the lectionary for Epiphany Sunday, begin to demonstrate for us ways that we can avoid entropy in our lives. See, when we get discouraged, thinking that the passing of the year only marks the slow passage of time, and some of us do that, don't we? At the end of that 1 year, rather than the excitement about what's coming up, we think about, you know, we're just one more year closer to death, one more year closer to something bad happening. When we begin to allow the passage of another year to simply mark time, Isaiah in chapter 60 shouts out to us, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." You see, the story of Jesus' being born is not just a story that lives in the passages of Luke 2, that lives in December when we begin to read those great passages of how the shepherds lived out in the fields, and how the glory of the Lord shone around about them as the angels came and announced the birth of Jesus. They don't just exist for those times. Isaiah shouts to us, "Arise and shine, for our light has come, and the glory of the Lord shines around us as well." Don't grow weary with life. For you see, God is not done with us. God shines in us. God has something new for us, no matter what year of life we begin to celebrate this year. When those shepherds were out in the fields, biding their time, doing the thing that was the most ordinary, the most dull, the most basic of keeping watch over their flocks by night, things that they had done for generation after generation. They didn't expect for the extraordinary to break in, but God did. And God is breaking in to the ordinary of our lives all the time. Intercept entropy when we begin to think that we have this whole faith aspect of our lives down pat. You know, you do the same thing as I would imagine. We begin to think, you know, I do my church, I have my Bible study, I have my my Christian friends, I have all these things about my spiritual life. I'm set. I'm good. This is where I'm supposed to be. And then we encounter the story of the Magi. These learned and gifted men who spent their lives studying the stars. And what do? They find something so magnificent that it causes them to leave what they know, what is comfortable, the place where they have influence, the place where they are comfortable, and to travel in the ancient world across the deserts with all of the challenges that that brings. And why? They come into Jerusalem and they say, "Where is the child that has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star and its rising and have come to pay him homage." In this new year, let us learn from the Magi to begin to look for the workings of God all around us. Not only does God's glory shine around us, but his work is ever present. It requires us to be able to pay attention, to listen. And when we begin to do so, we'll begin to see God's beauty and God's majesty, and maybe even some of God's mystery right here where we are. And then what did the Magi do? Is they left and they followed. How do we begin to end entropy in our lives? Is we begin to follow a new journey. We begin to follow God into new places that we never imagined. We begin to risk ourselves for the sake of the gospel. Finally, when we think we have hit a brick wall in our lives, when we begin to think that there's no way to go forward because life is too complex, because life is too painful, maybe even because life is too hard, when we give up on life and entropy truly begins to set in and the destructive parts of our lives begin to tear away at our own spirits, let us remember the promise from Ephesians chapter 3. "Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly more, far more than we can ever ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." God is able to accomplish far more than we can ever ask or imagine. There is nothing in your life that you are facing this year that God cannot help you overcome. And see, for God, the challenge for us is not that we are able to get through it. The challenge for us is that our faith becomes too small to think that God would even get us through this. So small that we cannot even imagine, even dream about what God has in store for us. That's what God wants for us in this new year. For us to begin to expand our imagination of what life with God is all about. How do we eliminate, intercept entropy from our lives this year? Let us open our eyes to the glory of God all around us. We might just be amazed. Let us determine to risk something for God this year. We might just discover a brand new journey of faith. And finally, let us begin, let us dare to dream again. We might just realize that God wants more for us than we could ever imagine. Over the course of the next several weeks, we're going to begin to walk in worship and on Wednesday nights around this idea of daring to dream again. It's been a hard time over the past years, not just in this community, but throughout our country. Learning to dream again begins with a spiritual question of what are we going to allow God to do? Are we able to have the imagination for God to work in our lives? We're going to look at this idea of dreaming again through the story of the person of Joseph, the patriarch, there in the Genesis. We're going to look through several different chapters of Genesis. And I pray that over the course of the next several weeks, that you will begin to walk with us in worship. Walk with us as we begin to set new ideas, new imaginations for God's work in our life and our church. Our worship folks this morning are a pure example of that. Their lives are before them. Dreams are just now being realized. And they represent for us today an image of what it means to begin to dream again. Not that we'll be young again, not that we want to be young again, but that in so doing we can recapture that idea that God has more in front of us still to do. What a great blessing and prayer for the coming year. Will you pray with me? So Lord, today we come and we give our lives to you in this new year. Some of us have already made some New Year's resolutions. Some of us, Lord, are just glad to be here. Some of us, Lord, are looking forward to great things. Some of us, Lord, are just so glad that 2010 has gone because it was so hard. So, Lord, we bring all of those things into you today, into this place of worship, and commit, O Lord, to begin to follow you into new ways. O Lord, may we begin to see your beauty and your glory all around us. O Lord, may we begin to follow in the paths that you direct. And, O Lord, may you help us now to dream big dreams for ourselves, for this church, and for this community. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We have a hymn of invitation. It is a hymn of response, a place that we begin to say, what are we going to do for God from this point forward? Some of us maybe are ready to say yes to Jesus moving into our lives and follow him in baptism. Some of us, I think, are ready to join this church. You've been walking with us for a while and you're ready to say, this is a new year. We're ready to begin to see what God's going to do with us as we begin to walk alongside First Baptist Church in service and in formation. Whatever God has for you today, maybe you've got a resolution that you've been working on in this through this past weekend. You want to make a commitment to God in the worship service today. Whatever it is, as we sing, I'll be down front. Feel free to come as we sing.